sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texts are saying, Gamble, you high? Okay. Cam Smith right now has a 90 OPS plus. Ben Gamble last year as an Astro had a 114 OPS plus. He was almost 20 OPS plus points better. That's hard to say. His career, Gamble's career, that's a small sample. Branham, you can't just look at the little bit of time that Ben Gamble was here, 20 games, 69 plate appearances, which is kind of pretty close to the Cam Smith a little bit. Cam Smith has more volume there. Okay, let's look at Ben Gamble's professional career. A 96 OPS plus, which is still higher than Cam Smith. What else does Ben Gamble do? He's left-handed and chews bubblegum at the same time. Outside of Yordan Alvarez, the Astros don't have a good lefty bat that can swing, and Yordan hadn't been good this year, that can swing and chew bubblegum at the same time. So Gamble has been better as a big leaguer, yes, very early in Cam Smith's career, and gives you something that you do not have.
I just think that it's unrealistic, too, no matter how much you wanted to see Cam Smith start the season on this roster, that he was going to hit the ground running and just do what he did in spring training and start doing it against major league pitching every single at-bat of every game. It's very rare. I mean, the percentages are not in your favor if that's what you believed, because those are the rarest of rare circumstances, especially with a kid that has this little minor league experience. It's just, it was a great story. It was a great spring. It was a necessity in a lot of ways because of how bad the outfield looked. But Ben Gamble, as a mature, polished major league player, had a better chance to succeed early.
Yeah, he did. And he's, a left-handed bat.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you don't have to start the clock on Cam, and you get the year on the back end instead of this below-average year. So the texter said, go ahead.
I was going to say, remember before the season started, you and I talked about it. Espada was on one of the talk radio interviews or whatever, where he said, I really like the thought of having left-handed bats on the bench, and he specifically called out Singleton and Gamble as guys that he thought was going to be a part of this major league team, and that one of them was probably going to be a significant left-handed bat for them, and both of them got cut.
Because they rushed up Cam Smith.
Because they did, yeah.
Because they rushed up Cam Smith. All right, so the Bregman thing. Texture said Bregman and Tucker started off terrible as well. Bregman did start bad. He was 1-for-22. He was 2 for his first 38. But by the time he played 26 games as a big leaguer, which I pulled up 26, why? Because Cam Smith has played 26 games. Bregman started to heat up. Bregman went from a dude who was 2 for his first 38. Whenever he was 2-for-38, he was hitting .057 with a 189 OPS 9 games into his career. By the time he played in his 26th game, he got it all the way up to .229 with a 689 OPS. Like, he had turned the corner. He had turned it around way quicker than Cam Smith has been done.
You could tell that the progression, he got hot. They knew he wasn't going down. They knew that they were just going to ride that wave out because he was getting it.
And Cam Smith played 5 games above high A ball prior to this year. Alex Bregman had 80 games in double A or triple A under his belt and was crushing double A and triple A pitching. So, like, that's not a like for like. One, Bregman's struggle was far less at bats than Cam Smith's struggles. And Alex Bregman was very seasoned in double and triple. I mean, half a year. He played 80 games in double A or triple A and was almost a 1,000 OPS. So, like, that's not an apples-to-apples comparison. And then the Kyle Tucker thing. Kyle Tucker did struggle early in his career. The first time that Kyle Tucker came up, he played in 28 games, 72 plate appearances, which is very similar to what Cam Smith has right now. But this was in the summer. It wasn't the opening day. Wasn't the start of the year. This was also 3 years removed after Kyle Tucker was drafted. He had a 439 OPS, very bad. The second year that he came up, 22 games, 72 plate appearances, again, pretty similar to what Cam Smith has now, 269 average, 857 OPS. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, no, I think it's legit, and I think that you look at some of the franchises in baseball right now that have guys that were in their top prospects, the Royals, the Red Sox, they got guys that fully believe that the seasoning matters because they got guys ripping the absolute cover off of it that there are their top prospects that are just chomping at the bit to get to the bigs. But once you get called up and you're ripping the hell out of AAA pitching, your confidence is going to be through the roof. I don't care what everybody thought, you know, and how mature this kid is. You gotta, in your, you know, when you go home at night and you're sitting in your hotel room, you gotta at least have some doubts that, hey, you know, I'm going to the big leagues where everybody has really elite and good stuff compared to what I've been hitting, and question yourself too in terms of, instead of coming out of AAA off a heater, going, yeah, I'm ready for this, man. I can't wait. And then kind of being more dialed into more close to Major League pitching from a AAA level.
Texter says Hayward greater than Gamble. I would have been okay with Hayward. Hayward hasn't done well in San Diego, though. Under 200 batting average.
How frequently is he playing, though? He's not playing a lot, is he?
57 at-bats.
Okay.
No, I don't think he gets regular starts.
I don't either.
No, but I would have been okay with Hayward
with
their fifth outfielder. Rare start against righties, tough righties.
It was weird how both of those guys kind of came off the scrap heap, Gamble and Hayward, and both played well here.
Yeah, they were both okay. Mm-hmm. They were both okay last year. Maybe they could do something like that now. Texter, didn't coaching staff leave late last year because Dana was moving up guys too fast? They did have a lot of turnover with their minor league coaches. I didn't hear that as the reason, though.
I didn't either. That,
I never
that's
heard that
me.
As the reason.
Yeah, that's
they did have a lot of turnover. That is fact. But usually new GMs kind of do that whenever they're 2-3 years on the job. And they can finally, like, take grasp of their minor league system. I didn't hear that the coaches were leaving on their own accord because Dana was calling guys up too fast. That seems incorrect. I don't know why they would do that. Like, if anything, it's a testament to their coaching. Like, hey, you know, we're grooming these guys to where the GM can call them up fast. So I think that's a contradiction there. Texter, I'm okay with the move to have Cam start the year on roster and potentially give team outfield a boost this year. Not working now, obviously, but okay with the decision. We are doing the hindsight revisionist thing. Who would you have called up instead? We kind of addressed that. Gamble was on the roster. He was cut. Texter, Branham is actually correct today. Hey! The Astros shouldn't have given up that extra year of service. That's the bigger deal to me. He's given up the extra year of service, plus the DeZinzo thing. I wish DeZinzo had all those at-bats that Cam Smith has. Another Texter says, love this baseball talk. Don't kiss our butts. No, just because we don't need any of that. When was Altuve signed? If memory serves, Altuve signed after his first full year in the bigs. So like a year and a half into his big league career.
Okay, I don't remember.
But he also wasn't a highly touted prospect.
No, like, at all.
He was, like, never on a top 100 list. They didn't really love him whenever he first came up either. He took him a while to curry some favor.
Yeah, they basically thought he was a placeholder when they first called him up.
Yeah, didn't he flat out say that?
Yeah, I remember something like that was basically put out there that he was a placeholder.
Yeah. I recall that. I recall him saying it. I don't remember the setting, though. Maybe it was that little bases loaded they did with him whenever they went back to his home country and they were talking about him taking BP on that little crappy field.
Yeah, yeah. And what, like, they sent him home the first day and he came back the second day?
That was the tryout, yeah.
Yeah.
But this was like him taking, like, his dad would throw him BP on this, like, really crappy field.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good bases loaded. It's been for some years, though. Hayward was out injured for quite a bit of time at the beginning of the year. I think he just came back 10 days ago. This year is a waste. Might as well get Smith some reps in Major League Baseball. Oh, in Minor League Baseball. He said MILB.
That's the new name for it.
See, I disagree. For Minor League Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I disagree with this year being a waste, though. Like, I don't believe that. That's part of the reason I want Cam in the minors.
And from a developmental standpoint, it's never a waste. If the kid is getting
I think he meant from the Astros perspective.
Oh. I don't feel like that's the case either, because there's no reason to believe that this team on paper coming into the season, it's not a throw. Everybody believed they could still compete.
Yeah, I still think they're going to make
their
playoffs.
Their odds are
too.
Still good. Even the Vegas odds are still
they?
Good. Yeah.
Like, what are they roughly?
They're like, I think they're like the third or fourth team in the American League to win the American League. They're,
really?
I don't think they're any as high as three. They might be fourth. The last time I saw, they were fifth, though.
Because I saw the odds.
They were
to
tied
get to the
with
World
Seattle
Series.
For fifth, I think. I'll look it up.
It was pretty nationally heavy,
guy.
But yeah.
Well,
the question
actually.
Was asked.
Hey, Jeremy, would you take right now a 279 hitter with a 720 OPS in right field?
What's my OPS plus?
I don't see it.
Probably around 100.
Yeah, I don't see the OPS plus.
So it was 720, you said?
Yeah.
And what was the average?
279.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who that is?
No.
Who did we get into it over?
Alex Verdugo. Oh, yeah. I didn't have a problem with Verdugo.
And he's cheap. I mean, he was really cheap, too, but at least he's productive.
What was our argument about Verdugo?
I think it was
more about the money.
Yeah, but it was more dialed in that you were focused that you thought I just wanted Alex Verdugo. I said, no, I just wanted a guy. That was the example I gave off the top of my head because I had been kind of pushing for the fact that that guy was still out there, but that you could get a guy cheap.
I remember us getting into it about Verdugo, but I can't remember my side of it. I think mine was more about the money. Because it would have pushed him over the CBT,
depending on what
the kind of guy you go over the CBT for.
At that point, we were thinking that he wanted a whole hell of a lot more, and he ended up settling for a whole hell of a lot more of a contract like Ben Gamble's. And then it worked out thanks to an injury for the Braves that he actually got called up and stuck right in the starting lineup. But at least he from a perspective of hitting, he's still hitting.
Yeah, it's coming back to me. It is coming back. Mine was more about the money. And he signed. You're right. He signed for peanuts. He signed for $1.5 million. And then the Astros cleared some money by trading Montero.
They did. Yep.
So that would have been nice. That would have been nice.
Been a hell of a replacement.
Yeah, better than what Cam Smith has given you. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Nick Caserio is. I just saw this from Ian Rappaport. Texans and rookie wide receiver Jaden Higgins have agreed to a fully guaranteed four-year, $11.7 million deal. Higgins is the first second-round pick in NFL history to have a fully guaranteed contract. Nick Caserio does not care about the rest of the NFL. Like, a lot of teams get mad when teams, like, set the precedence on something, and this is the second time he's done it. He did it with – I can't remember the previous player he did it with. Now he's doing it with Jaden Higgins. Teams are going to hate him.
Other GMs are probably not.
Was it Stingley? Because his deal, I think, all but $1 million was guaranteed.
It might have been. I think he's done it with multiple players.
I don't think you're wrong. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Yeah, no, it happened. It happened at least once, maybe twice. I just can't remember.
With a first rounder, or just
no? I want to say it was like a. I mean, it might have been, the one that I'm thinking of. It was like a mid rounder, and he paid him more money than any other player, guaranteed money than any other player ever in that round. But I can't remember the player. It doesn't matter. All right, 713-780 ESPN HRMP listener line. I'll get a few more texts in this. Also, what Ponder was kind of pondering us into. I can't tell blankers if Dana Brown is a good general manager or not. Is Dana Brown a good general manager? Help me out. Help us out. 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Dana Brown, a good general manager. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line 713-780-3776. Key from LA, if you guys checked out y'all's arch nemesis, last at bats, Jock Peterson. What did Peterson do? Do you know?
I don't know. I know that he went through a horrific slump to start the year. I don't know what he's done recently.
I do remember that. He's hitting 132, so I guess it wasn't a positive thing.
That's shocking. 132, normally he wants to stick it to us, but you know me. I'm Jock Peterson might be my least favorite player on the planet.
Maybe he's laughing at him because he's no longer a Dodger.
Probably.
Maybe that's it. I'm going to the Dodger game tonight.
Oh, so you decided to go. Good for you. You should.
Yeah, but I was looking. I think I got a really cheap deal. On some pretty good seats, $25, and like everything else around it was like $75. Now I did relist it. I'm looking for a quick profit, but they haven't sold yet.
Only you, man.
Well, you're day trading your tickets.
If somebody wants to bite on it,
you got nothing. I'm really surprised, Joel, that we haven't heard about Branham going out to Sedona yet.
I don't think I have time. I looked at I mapped it out. Plus, it's the thing you do with the wife. Like, you don't do it by yourself. I might go on a hike tomorrow, though.
I don't know. You're pretty fancy. I thought I could see you going out there and having a nice crazy.
No, when I'm by myself.
What about a sunset hike in Sedona instead of going to the Diamondbacks game? Just get out there.
I probably could because they don't observe daylight savings here, so we're actually 2 hours behind here. It's 2:21 here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got plenty of time.
Yeah, I probably could. If those
you're
tickets sell, maybe.
Your time?
I mean, there's some good hikes around Phoenix, Tucson, Scottsdale.
Camelback Mountain area.
Yeah, like I don't need to go all the way to Sedona. I think I'm going to do a hike in the morning. I got the ticket I got is actually right next to the visiting bullpen. and Yamamoto pitches today. So I've been trying to learn some mean things to say in Japanese to yell at the guy.
Huh.
Ya bum? How do you say ya bum in Japanese?
Oh, here, I got you.
71370.
That was it.
Yeah, but no, Yamamoto's pitching. I'm actually looking forward to like watching him warm up than I am
if
the
you
actual
sell the
game.
Tickets, just think about how many more best balls you could get in.
I don't think they're gonna sell. And if they did, if it did sell, I would probably just go to the ballpark and buy it from a ticket broker. I don't think you can say the old word anymore.
Oh,
can you say that? I don't know if you can say that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to stay away from
it. At this point. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I have them listed, but I don't think it's going to sell because it hasn't had any bites yet. So I'm just going to go. But even if they did sell, I'm still going to go. I already bought my parking spot, so I'm pot committed now.
So you're out there by the swimming pool?
No. Visiting bullpen's down the left field line.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the home bullpen over there.
Okay.
Somebody yell "ya bum" in Japanese to Yamamoto. I thought Brian was out today. He's usually talkative. He's training on the board. Also, Cam should also get plenty of at bats this season with Yordan using all of his PTO. It's a good point. I mean, there's nobody else. Nobody else. There really isn't, unless you wanted to make a move for Gamble, which you could probably have him for cheap.
He's in the Tigers AAA.
Yeah, you could probably get him back. He might even have like one of those opt outs in his deal.
And Big John Singleton is in the Mets organization.
I really don't want Singleton, though.
I don't either. I've seen
I want an outfielder. Yeah. I want an outfield lefty bat.
I also just think he's never going to be what they thought he was going to be, what the Cinderella story, again, would have been had he...
That's a true Cinderella story.
Yeah. Well, two bombs in one game doesn't make a career.
I don't feel Cam – well, that's what Cam's got going for him right now. I don't feel Cam was a waste to play in the bigs, but it's totally fine if they send him down to get some extra work in. He's young and he has lots of ball left. We will see.
Well, Jeremy Branham says so. I guess Cam Smith is ass, so.
A little run-in from Lance Erline.
I thought he came in he came into the production studio. He's here in the office.
Man. What if that was a sweet little old lady that said, love the baseball talk? It's rude to yell at sweet old ladies for giving you a compliment, Branham. Well, I can't see face on text. If it was a sweet old lady, she can stop kissing my butt, too. Texter, is Branham wearing his Astros hat tonight? I didn't bring an Astros hat. I brought a TaylorMade hat. Might wear a shirt that says Houston, though. Well, I didn't really think about it. I was already gone by the time I bought tickets, dog.
Do you bring your hiking boots, or do you hike in tennis shoes?
Yeah, I hike in tennis shoes. I actually have an embarrassing story about hiking in tennis shoes. I was hiking with the wife and the wife's family, and I was holding Branham, baby. Did I tell you all this?
No.
I don't think so. No.
Please
proceed.
I think it was like at Canyon Creek, maybe, a couple of years ago. I mean, Branham, baby, was pretty young. Like, he wasn't walking or crawling. We had him like in one of those little like chest bag things, mm-hmm. And I had him in my – and I stepped down, and I rolled my ankle so bad. So bad. And like, I busted my butt. Branham baby was upright. He didn't get hurt.
I was going to say, you gotta strategically land, too.
Yeah, you got to roll
Branham
yourself
baby.
And
I
land
did.
On the back so you don't
I mean, right on,
the
well,
baby.
The way that it was stepping down was kind of like, it was almost like a stair, you know? Like stepping down from one rock onto another, almost like a stair. And when I did it, it twisted my ankle really bad. And like, I kind of kicked my leg out and just landed on my butt.
Mm.
Yeah, it was, I was limping around there for a little bit. I think I told y'all. Y'all just don't listen to me.
It's probably true.
It's definitely possible.
Yeah. I know I said this. Texters are sending us Japanese cuss words that I am not going to read on the air because I will get myself in trouble. But I'll yell it tonight at Yamamoto. Yamamoto's going to rue the night that he ran into Branham at Chase Ballpark in Arizona.
It brings me flashbacks to when we first got Yao and everybody was like just trying.
Well, he's Chinese, Blinkers.
I understand that, but similar situation to be like, hey, say this to Yao. Hey, here's a word. Nope, not going to do any of that. Thanks, though.
Yeah, he's Yamamoto on the mound. He's facing that Brandon Fat guy. Which,
oh, is it P-H?
Yeah,
it's got like a double A like, situation
isn't
in there.
It P-F?
P-F-A-A-T? P-F-A-A-T? I think, I think that's right.
His nickname on the internet
double
is
a.
Not radio friendly. Yamamoto's been good now. 4-2, sub-1 ERA.
He also has a tear jerk. He can cry at any time.
Was he the one crying?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to remind him of that tonight.
Yeah. Tell him he's crybaby.
You call him a crybaby. Call him a bum.
I'm going to have to look up how to say crybaby in Japanese.
Oh,
how do you say crybaby in Japanese?
I got it for you.
713-780-3776.
There it is.
That's low-key racist.
Golly. Yeah, I'm not sure Israel would like that one.
I was Kikuchi.
What if I just pretended he was Kikuchi tonight? Well, Kikuchi, you bum.
Just don't tweet it out. You'll get canceled. Don't leave evidence.
Keith from LA, enjoy the Dodgers game, Branham. Not reading that text either. All right, is Dana Brown a good GM or not? 713-780-3776. Do you think that Dana Brown is a good GM?
Right now, I would say he's not. And I would say that, yes, you can say the jury's still maybe out a little bit because we still are trying to see how much he can do. And what he, but from what he's done, whether you believe the whole theory that Crane was too handsy and too involved at certain points, we don't know if his hands were tied on certain things. I just don't think he has been. And I think that it's also because of who he's going to be compared to inevitably, which is Click and Luno. But right now, from what I've seen and for where this club is, and especially as good as the pitching has been, I would have to say no.
Yeah, if you like, I'm definitely on the fence about it, and we're not going to allow people to be on the fence on this show. We're no fence riders on the Killer Bees. I would go bad. I thought Ponder brought up a great point about like the minor league signings. Like, he spends $20 million on Christian Walker, and I like the signing at the time. It's why it's, like, frustrating, mm-hmm. who hasn't been very good. And you can't give him Montero. Like, that was done before he was around. You can't give him Jose Abreu. That was before he was around. And, like, I even like the Kyle Tucker trade. Like, I like the premise of it. Like, get something for mm-hmm. a player before they leave you for free. Like, I really like those type of moves. I'm a big proponent of those type of moves. But his roster construction the last 2 years has been like, man, like, why aren't you – like, Ponder brought up the Jurickson Profar thing. I've wanted Jurickson Profar for a while, but not at the contract the Braves got him. Like, give me a Jurickson – he signed a 2 years back-to-back, like, very team-friendly deals. Now, it turned out that the career year he had, he might have been using some performance-enhancing drugs. So that kind of throws a wrinkle into thing. We had a texter say that, you know, Brian McCann and Evan Gattis and Brantley were position players they brought in that had some success to help us win championships. And those guys were – like, I believe they traded for McCann. Brantley was a signing. You know, Reddick they spent decent money on, mm-hmm. actually. But it doesn't feel like Dana Brown, other than the bullpen. Like, I'll give him some pretty good credit for finding some bullpen arms. Like, I think he does a pretty good job there, although he did sign Hader for a massive deal that really helped that out. I lean no on Dana Brown.
Wasn't he big on pinpointing Blanco and Arrighetti as guys that he wanted to have as starters?
I mean, Blanco for sure. Blanco was a reliever that he turned into a starter. Some would, if you're arguing the anti-Dana Brown side of this, you could say it was necessity. Like they had to find somebody that could be like organizational depth as starter because they didn't have any of it. Not so much on Arrighetti. Like Arrighetti was, like, it wasn't his draft pick. He was a starter. He's been a starter throughout his whole minor league career. So I don't know if I can give him Arrighetti.
I just know that when we weren't even factoring him in as a possibility, he had earmarked him before spring training going, there's a guy that I really like, and I think that he could really help us. Then I was like, really?
He said he was a Rookie of the Year candidate. But, like, Arrighetti was already on the radar. Not to that exaggerated extent, but that's kind of what Dana Brown does is exaggerate.
Yeah, and look, I think the one thing, like you always say, we don't know what we don't know, and we may never know it. But
I never say that.
Okay. You do say that a lot, that we may never know about things behind the scenes and how things work. And
I'm messing with you.
I mean, you don't know if Crane really did kind of put the, you know, kind of disallow or like put the clamps on him and handcuff him from doing things he wanted to do. And for how long did he do that before he started to back off and see what he could actually do for this team? But it just seems like even if Crane was involved to a certain degree, you would speak up at a certain point and go, if I'm going to be on the, you know, my butt's going to be held to the fire for how I do this job and what happens, then let me do my job, because we know that Crane and Bagwell screwed some things up. And I just don't know how much Dana was being held back by ownership, but I'd like to see more. I had major concerns with the outfield this year. I thought they could have done more. We just got done talking about some guys they could have had and wouldn't have had to spend a whole lot, and the fact that they got money back from Montero, which would have kind of kept them where they needed to be in terms of the compensatory picks and all that other stuff. I think he's been blah, and that's at best.
Yeah, it feels he's kind of mid. It feels like a spot is kind of mid. It feels like the Astros are kind of mid, and they literally are. They're 500 right now. 713-780-ESPN. Is Dana Brown good? Is Dana Brown bad? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
YouTuber Mr. Mills says that it was not Yamamoto. It was Roki Sasaki. That was the crier, Blankers.
Okay, Mr. Mills, you got me again.
You know what, Blankers? You just made the list.
There you go, great.
You just made the list!
Mr. Mills will be giddy.
You just made the list here. Let me type it in here. Joel, wrong Japanese pitcher.
On the air.
Yes, make sure you type it in just like that.
You're right, Joel. Okay, Mr. Mills. Thanks, Brad. Brad's coming to town this week.
Why are you getting so upset with Mr. Mills? For
he had to throw the other comments in there. I mean,
aren't you proud of me for not reading it?
Well, you could have. I don't care. I mean, you come at me enough that it doesn't matter if someone else does.
I really don't come at you that much. I probably come at you at about a 3.
Okay. In your mind, well, I feel bad for the people that get more of it.
Yeah, I think I come at you at about a 3.
You do think that. That's fine.
But I'm the one doing it. I think I have a pretty good understanding if I'm coming at you at a higher level, higher degree.
Okay. I feel bad. Like I said, I feel bad for the others that get more.
I would say I go at you at about a 3. I would say I go at Brian at about an 8. And then Joe on our Astros podcast, Inside the Icebox,
just
a 10.
You go.
A 10, because he didn't let me name the show, and I'm carrying a grudge. I have an axe to grind with him for the duration of that
fair,
podcast.
To be fair, we couldn't name it what you wanted to name it.
It wasn't
appropriate for the
Does that
the
sound like something I would do?
I mean, no. I heard it directly from your mouth when the mics
it's
weren't
not
on.
Something I would do. 713-780-ESPN. Texture says Blanker's got an A grade. J-Bone, the jury's still out on him.
No blame, man.
Barry out. BMAC is definitely an F with a capital F. I don't know what that text has to do with anything.
I think he's just telling me to F myself is what he's saying.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Is Dana Brown good or bad? Brown is the bravest GM, but not the best. Do you think that was a pun for his days with the Atlanta Braves?
Yeah, maybe. I'll give him credit for that.
I'll say maybe. I err on the side of no. I think he's saying he's the bravest GM because of the Tucker trade, which was a brave trade. Texture Brown was also handcuffed off the bat with $30 million a year in dead money, the Bagwell deal. See, that's another thing. That's why I'm on the fence. Like, he was not given there wasn't a whole lot in the cupboard for him. Money was strapped. Your minor league system was terrible. There wasn't a whole lot of wiggle room. So, I do give him a lot of what I would call excuses, I think are fair reasons as to why a general manager couldn't really harness their top results. I do feel like they've been strapped.
I really believe that who he's being compared to also factors in. If he's coming in from
Well, we're not doing that. We're saying Dana Brown, you have confidence in him as a general manager.
I want to believe that they got the right guy. He's a likable guy. I want him to do well. I want to believe that he's capable and he's going to do well. But the track record, just to me, regardless of until we know, and like I said, we may never know the details as to how all these decisions were made and, guys weren't or were brought in. I just don't feel great about it. And because of the success that Click and Luno had, it's like, who are you succeeding? If you're D'Amico and you're succeeding Lovey and Cully, it's a whole hell of a lot easier to get positive reviews than if you're trying to succeed guys that have done that well here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You are trying to fit into somebody else's shoes. That's a fair point. Texter, Dana Brown is better than me, so I say he's good. That's a low bar, Texter. Very low bar. Another texture, no incentive to be good because the last guy won the World Series and was fired. It's a funny tweet, funny text, haha. But, I mean, he has the incentive to keep his job. I would say there's a pretty high motivator for Dana Brown. James Click got fired after winning a World Series, which was comical, but Dana Brown has to do as good a job as he possibly can do because guys have been fired for way more accomplished things.
Sure, absolutely. And that's why it goes back even to the Cam stuff. Not that Dana Brown was in that position to do what he did with Cam, but we've seen guys across sports that are looking to save their job and save their ass, and they're going to make moves accordingly, whether it's the best thing for the franchise sometimes or not.
Let's bring back Lunos as a texter. Bravest GM was not a pun, says Corey. Okay. He accidentally stepped into a pun, which is the lowest form of comedy, according to some. No GM has been given a fair chance by Crane ever since Luno. Crane fired Click after he won a World Series, LOL. Do you think that Dana has the full reins now? Because when Dana first got the job, he didn't. Do we think he has the full reins now?
I still don't. I think that maybe they've toned down how much that Crane and Bagwell are publicly owning up to or saying that they had something to do with stuff. But I think that behind the scenes, I think they're still meddling, tinkering, and I still think that they're helping make decisions.
Yeah, I think he has most of the reins, and I don't know how much of the reign, but I feel like it's the most he's ever had. I feel like the Abreu DFA signaled that last year.
Yeah.
Signaled that last year. Because I think Hader was probably, I don't know. Like, I think Dana really liked Hader.
I think Hader was all Crane.
Man, I think Dana liked him, though. But I feel like he was green-lighted whenever Graveman got hurt. I don't know. Yeah. That'd be an interesting one to be a fly on the wall about. I'm unsure about.
It just really had all the writings on the wall of a Jim Crane signing.
Yeah,
I think he was really enamored with the top relief pitcher on the market and making the splash.
Crane likes the shiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a fan of the shiny thing, and he's not willing to go, you know, above the CBT unless it's for a shiny thing. And Josh Hader was a shiny thing. Oh, Graveman's hurt. Our pitching's not going to be good. Let's go shine the shiniest pitcher on the market. So, yeah, it does have a lot of Crane-esque things. You know the thing that bothers me? This is interesting. This texture says Espada's got more power than Dana. I couldn't disagree more.
Oh, God, no.
I feel like Espada has very little power.
Yeah, I agree.
Lineup?
Yeah, I think that I don't think Joe's got nearly any power.
I remember Dana going on with Salisbury last year and being like, yeah, we expect this guy to be up in the order today. And then he was up in the order that day. Like, I don't know how much power a spotter really has.
Yeah, I think once Dusty left and that when Joe got the job, it was basically understood that there was going to be a whole lot of hands in the kitchen.
Dana Brown is Cam Smith, says Keith. Spotter's got more power. Here's the one thing that annoys me a bit this offseason. And look, I don't love Dana's roster construction. Like, this is very right-handed heavy. You don't have a lefty off the bat, off the bench. Like, I thought 2 years ago you could have had a better bench, too. They were relying, like, on the Shea Whitcombs of the world. I didn't feel like you did a great job of adding depth 2 years ago. And then this past offseason, mostly left-handed bat. But you know what else, like, really annoys me this offseason? The Jose Altuve to left field, and it's not because Jose Altuve moved to left field. I understand that. Like, I totally understand why Jose Altuve is playing left field most days. He's not a good defensive second baseman. You're trying to hide him. You have two ground ball starters. Like, I totally get it. I've defended the move a lot because I do understand it. I get it. I think it makes sense. But how is Brendan Rodgers your mostly everyday starting second baseman? Like, if you're moving Jose Altuve to left field, how is your backup plan Brendan Rodgers, who came to you late and basically was more him wanting to be with you than you wanting to be with him? Like, it just didn't feel like a full thought. It's like a half measure. Like, if you're doing the move, okay, cool. Go find a second baseman. And, like, remember they were in on Jorge Polanco, and we're like, why are they in on Jorge Polanco? They don't need a second baseman. They have Jose Altuve. Is he going to play third base? And, like, we know now that it was probably he was going to play second base, but you didn't get the job done. So the guy that is taking over for Altuve, because you're moving Altuve to left, which is fine, is a dude that called you to sign him.
You're totally right.
It's the half measure there where it's like it's not a complete thought. That to me, feels off as a general manager.
You're right about it, because it seems like they backed into that. It doesn't seem like that it was anything that they were planning to do. It seemed like it fell into their lap, and so far he's been better than average at a cheap price, and you're like, hey, look what we did. Well, did you do it? Because even his agent came out and said that's where he wanted to play. Like, once he saw what the Astros were contemplating doing and he was looking for a new team, he lobbied to get here. It wasn't that Dana sought him out. So, yeah, that you're Dubon was supposed to be your guy, right? That was supposed to be getting the majority of the time at second base.
I mean,
Or Paredes was going to go over there.
Which, I mean, I know we kicked around the Paredes thing. I don't know if that was ever really on the table because I don't know if they view him as a good defensive second baseman.
But I'm just doing that to outline the fact that they didn't have, like, a solidified plan, and those were the two guys that were being kicked around, at least thrown out there, as to what they were going to do at second base.
It's like, you want to do Altuve to left, cool, but your plan is some street free agent that came to you? That to me is just, what are you doing? I can't tell. Like, I don't know if he's any good or not. It's really hard to wrap my head around.
To me, that more lends itself to he's not, because I don't think that he had even factored in Rodgers, and now all of a sudden Rodgers is getting significant starts at second base.
Roosh says, I don't know if he's bad, but he's done nothing to deserve being labeled good. That's probably a good way to describe it. Mike, I think we would have been in a better place if Click was still GM. Astros Knower says, I think he's good. I don't think he's made a move that seemed like an overpay or wasn't good for the future of the organization. Hater, maybe, but I don't mind Hater. I like the trades and signings. The drafting is to be determined. It's way too early to tell about the draft. Has he overpaid anybody? Probably not. They didn't spend much money this offseason.
No, I don't.
Hater
think
so. Was under his watch, but we don't know how much he was involved there. And then also, do you not like the Hater deal? Michael on Twitter, yes, but I believe he's being restricted by the wishes of Crane. I believe if it was up to him, he would have signed Bregman to a long-term contract. Well, it's not his money. That's a little tough. Jim Crane doesn't believe in that, lining long-term deals. Ultimately, I think next year we'll see. He was told to get under the cap for 25. I really do hate the Walker signing at the moment. See, I liked it at the time.
I did, too.
Adam.
And I got to own up to that, too. I liked Abreu when they signed him.
Same.
I liked Mancini when they signed him or when they acquired him.
That was a good trade, though. They didn't give up any consequence.
And I was big on Christian Walker going, okay, when we were contemplating the what-ifs of how do you move on from Alex Bregman if you have to, and if you don't, did you make your team better because of how bad first base was? I love the fact that they were bringing in Christian Walker, and everybody that saw the trade seemed to love it too, saying this guy's going to be a perfect fit in Houston. It just hasn't worked out yet.
713-780-ESPN. People are having some thoughts on this here. Gaining some steam. Is Dana Brown a good general manager? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I know that a goal from Pro Dunk is a good goal. Pro Dunk makes the best goals on the planet. You don't go to the big box stores. Don't buy your goal there. They're cheap. They're not going to be very good. They're going to last for a couple of days, and they're going to be broken, and there's no good. Get your goal from Pro Dunk. They have the highest quality basketball goals you'll ever find. A breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It's height adjustable. It's rust proof. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel. And you can lower it all the way down to 5 feet. You can raise it all the way to 10 feet. That's why you have the breakaway rim, is because if you lower it down, you want to stay safe, don't you? You don't want that you don't want not to have a breakaway rim. That would cause a lot of damage. So the breakaway rim, lower it all the way down to 5 feet, throw down some jams, raise it up to 10 feet if you, your kid, significant others working on their shot. Thor's their new goal. Then you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Yeah, you don't even have to do the pull. Like, that's how easy things are these days. You don't even have to pull it or whatever. No, just a drill. Lightning adjust feature, and it goes anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Easy to do, fun to do, and it's idiot-proof for people like me. Their accessories are next level as well. LED light kits for night play. That way you can play all throughout the night. Play when it cools down a little bit. Totally get that. Backstop nets. You don't have to chase the basketball all over the place. And pull pad lettering, too. Lots more. And you can order all of this, including professional installation online at ProDunk.com. That's right. They will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't install. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do that work for you as you hang out in the recliner and watch them do that work for you in the AC. Give them a call at 281-351-9822. Visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
To the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What do you think of Dana Brown?
713-780-3776. Texter, I went to school with a kid named Brandon Rogers. He sucked at baseball. Yeah, Texter, you should have known what Brandon Rogers had to say about you. To Astros knower, it's not about what Brown has done, but what he hasn't. I wonder if that was a pun. What does Brown do for you?
We're pondering puns today.
I don't think it was a pun. I don't think that one was a pun either. There's no way his second base skills, Altuve, should have fallen off that quickly. No way. He spelled no way, K-N-O-W. There's K-N-O-W way. His second base skills have fallen that quickly, K-N-O-W way. I mean, guys get old quick. And it really wasn't that quickly. I mean, Altuve's been deteriorating defensively for years.
And his arm has been plus balling for a while now. Yeah, and his range has gotten limited. Yeah, I just... He was definitely – he's fallen off for quite a while now.
If Brown would be one of the best GMs if Crane spends more money. See, I disagree with that. Like,
base running's great, though.
Yeah. Andrew Feldman, one of the best GMs in baseball, would like he's currently the Dodgers president of baseball operations, whatever. He was doing his thing and making baseball look foolish with Tampa Bay. They made a movie about Billy Beane with an infamously cheap Oakland A's franchise. I couldn't disagree more. It's not about big money. It's about smart money.
You're right. And I think that, look, everybody's got their own way of doing it. Everybody's got an ownership that's willing, you know, that puts parameters on how much they can and can't do and spend. But for the most part, you know, I just think if from a Dana perspective, the biggest thing is when he took the job, it should have been spelled out for him what he was going to be dealing with, what he was up against. Because otherwise, if you're hiring the guy, you should be able to, maybe it doesn't happen immediately, but you should be able to hand him the reins and go, here. Go do your job.
Yeah. Like, if you, like, look at the last few moves, like, in the last few off seasons, it's the ones that were bad were the ones where you spent the money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Abreu, I think Walker's going to be fine, but I was saying the same thing about Abreu. Javier, you spent on him. He gets hurt. Who else am I missing? Montero, spent money. Now, no one Brown, but spent money, and these are the ones that are hurting you.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, that's a telltale sign of what Dana might be up against behind the scenes is what happened with Click, because it was basically spelled out. It was more of a communications and personality conflict that Crane didn't like, not the job that he had done, because he knows baseball and he knows talent and he knows how to do the job of a general manager. But Crane just didn't seem to like his style and his way of communicating, and maybe he wasn't one of the fellas with the other guys that he had on his, you know, Crane gang. Whatever the reason, I don't think James Click should have lost his job, and I don't think James Click lost his job because he did a bad job.
No, he disagreed with the wrong people.
That's right, yeah.
It's about who you know, not what you know.
Maybe how he disagreed, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to be privy to that. 713. I hope he writes a book. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Milo on a mobile. What's up, Milo on a mobile?
Hello, Joel, and whatever your name is. I want to be real quick and brief. Don't hit the panic button, Callie. I know you got a long way to go, but you don't want to just sit here rambling. You're 18 and 18. You won the title in 22 and 17. It's been a long time since the city of Houston has felt so powerful. It's only been 3 years. Now you could dwell on the Rockets and the Cougars. But in the end, we're a baseball town, Cali. Don't lose sight of 22 and 17. Oh.
Holy Toledo, what a call.
Whoa. And I was going to start by going, hey, Pally, that was really good.
Put a blue star on that one.
I was transported back to my conversation from Milo 10 years ago. That was good.
Well done.
That was really well done.
Milo started to turn in a little bit into Ric Flair there and then, like, transitioned back into Milo by the end of it. The early on was Milo.
Helped.
Middle was Ric Flair. The end was Milo. Whoa. Holy Toledo, what a play. Blue star on that one. Bidgie got it done.
Look here, Pally.
I just remember late in his career listening on the radio and not knowing where the ball went or what happened, and then all of a sudden, randomly, someone saying the ball was caught in left field, and you're like, wait, what?
There's a reason why he had two people next to him at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever read his book?
No.
I read his book. It wasn't very well published. He has, like, there's, like, multiple instances where, like, three pages are the very next same, three pages are the exact same.
Three pages in a row are the same
text.
Yeah,
like pages 21, 22, 23 are the same as 24, 25, and 26.
Yikes.
Like exactly the same. It's
he gave me a copy, but I never read it.
Wait, so you're saying it's not like two different stories that were similar? You're saying it's the exact same three pages?
It's like they printed the same multiple pages again.
That's terrible.
Maybe they just wanted to highlight how important those three pages were.
Holy Toledo, what a play.
You wanted to put a blue star on those three pages.
I've heard some stories on Milo.
I think we all have in this industry. Yeah.
I've heard that he's bumped a broadcaster off of Barry Bonds' milestone home run call because they needed the lead voice to call it, even though he was on the visiting team. Yeah, he's caught some legendary ones, though. He got a Barry Bonds legendary
Hank
one.
Aaron.
I can't remember which one. Thank you, Brian, for jumping in front of me.
I pulled a Milo. Beating me to the point.
Brian, the producer, beating the talent to the point. We have a new home run king, and his name is Henry Aaron. Yeah, people don't realize that was Milo. Some people don't realize that was Milo.
Well, if you know Milo or if you ever met him, he'll tell you.
He hated Harry Carey, too.
Oh boy, did he. Yeah.
You guys ever hear the stories? He used to spread bird seed by Harry Carey's statue so birds would go and eat and poop on it.
Is that true?
No way.
That's the story I've heard from multiple people. Multiple different people told it to me, so I don't know. I never asked Milo about it, but...
It might be... It is. Holy cow.
Holy Toledo.
Don't say holy cow. It's holy Toledo.
Well, Harry's holy cow.
Oh, okay. Okay, you were doing Harry. My bad.
Which holy Toledo was wasn't his originally.
Yeah, whose was it before him? You're right, though. I don't know who it was.
I think it was another pretty famous baseball announcer.
I think it might have been Callis.
Well, we got a question for tomorrow, then.
Oh, there you go. That'd be great if Todd knew. You would think he would, right?
I'm sure he would.
Google says it was Bill King.
Oh, okay.
Who's Bill King?
No idea.
Me either.
I have to look more into it. A Colt fan says that's worse than the Colt song. No, it's not. Milo Hamilton's a legend in New City. An absolute legend. Keith, look at Baltimore. Everyone loved all their prospects. Said they were going to be the next Astros, and so far it hasn't happened for them. Nothing is guaranteed. I mean, they've been really good. Not this year, but they've been really good. They just haven't had the pitching that's pushed them over the hump.
And they let their very productive right fielder walk away.
Yeah, Santander was just able to tune in. Have y'all talked about the true home run tracking? I don't know what that means. You know what true home run tracking is?
Yeah, I heard this on John and Lance this morning. Apparently next year there's going to be a new stat because baseball needs new stats. They don't have enough. But basically they're going to use through like Fangraphs or ballpark factors or whatever. Only like the true home runs, quote unquote, will be home runs that would have been out in 15 or more ballparks, trying to take away the cheapies to the Crawford boxes or the cheapies to right field at Yankee Stadium. So anything listed as a true home run would have been out in 15 or more ballparks.
This is like the outcome probability stuff.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, kind
That's
of.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I don't like that stat.
I don't like it either.
I guess it's trying to quantify balls that would be outs. It really shouldn't be home.
In half
I don't know.
The ballparks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Can't you say, hey, that ball, like they do now. I mean, that ball would have been out of seven different ballparks or just the only ball. This is the only ball. That's all you need. I don't think I need another stat for it of how many during
baseball
the year.
Baseball doesn't have enough stats, Joel. We always need more.
God.
It's weird. If you're the GM of the Astros, you should pick up the phone and call Baltimore about some of their kids. Yeah, I'd call them about some of their kids. For Fromber? Yeah, maybe in July. Maybe in July. Not right now. Maybe in July. All right, 713-780-3776. Texter said Jim Crane is cheap. Is a cheap, then it's some initials. Jim Crane is cheap. Now, I don't know if that's true. But what was the biggest mistake the Astros have made since last winning the World Series in 22? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.